Hello again, everyone. Dan Roderick's here of the Baltimore Sun, and welcome to another episode of Roughly Speaking, and another visit with our favorite bartender, Brendan Dore. This guy really knows his stuff. Today, we're going to visit with Brendan and hear all about the world of rum. So stay tuned for that. We'll get started right after this message.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Roderick is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at 6080 Falls Road, located at the intersection of Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. More information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
We're at the B&O American Brasserie Bar. It's a happy place to be under the chandelier here at the bar with Brendan Dore. Brendan, so I see you have a cocktail du jour. It's the Caribbean highball. Is this your invention, or did someone else here come up with it?
This is my creation. We do a daily cocktail here for happy hour, and that cocktail gets made every day by each bartender, whoever's here. We ran this one yesterday because we got a little bit of extra agricole rum, or French island rum.
Which is spelled R-H-U-M.
And we just thought we'd use some different product and make a tasty cocktail and something easy for
people. Okay, describe that then.
Okay, so it has rum JM, which is a agricole style rum. It has fresh lime juice, some ginger shrub. So it is a ginger syrup, but that has a little bit of vinegar in it, and some seltzer water, and a dash of Angostura bitters to kind of float it on top.
That ginger shrub has a little bit of vinegar in it?
It does. So when you see the word shrub in a cocktail these days, that will mean that it is... It has vinegar in it. Shrubs originally were basically a fruit syrup that you would kind of macerate the fruit, mm-hmm. but over time bartenders discovered that vinegar would prolong the life of a fruit syrup, but also add tartness to the cocktail and a nice pleasing flavor. So,
didn't you have lime in that?
Yep. And soda water?
Soda and Angostura. And
Angostura
bitters.
I know
you're a fan of Angostura.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So am I.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Sure.
The French produce rums?
Everyone produces rum. That's the thing about...
Is that true?
That is true. That is the thing about rum. So you have your rums that a lot of people are familiar with. You have like Bacardi.
Where does that come from?
Well, Bacardi right now comes from Puerto Rico.
Originally, upon a time, it came from Cuba.
From Cuba, yeah. But then you have French agricole style rums. So the rum that most people are familiar with, that like a Bacardi style rum, or here I also have Plantation rum. I have something else called Real McCoy rum with us today. These are made from, they do have sugarcane in them, but the majority of what is produced that is used in them is molasses. So it doesn't get quite the same grassy flavor that you'll get, that earthy flavor that you'll get from the French rum, the R-H-U-M rum.
It says Depuis 1790, since 1790.
I guess so,
The French have been making rum since 1790?
Well, in America, rum was extremely popular very early on. I mean, George Washington, the only spirit that he demanded be served at his inauguration was rum from Barbados.
Okay, from Barbados.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, the pirates.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the pirates.
I mean, there was actually quite a rum production industry in New England in the like early foundation of this country.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there was.
I guess I know it as an old drink, but I think of it as a pina colada. Excuse
yeah,
me.
I mean
this is a contemporary thought.
That is the unfortunateness of people's idea with rum is that it's only for cold, you know. Cool island drinks and
part of my job
the tiki culture.
In these podcasts we do mm-hmm. is to remind you of the unfortunate.
Thank you.
I often do that with drinks.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So here, let's taste some differences here. All right.
Okay. Oh, we're going to do a taste.
Yeah, we're going to taste a little bit as well.
I'm down here on Charles Street, looking out on Charles Street. So Charles Street, and I'm going to take the bus home.
All right.
So, you know, we can have a good time here.
Perfect. So the first one I've poured in your glass is Plantation Rum. As you can see,
I've heard a lot about this, and I've never had it.
So they purchase rum from different places, and then they blend. They're like what you might call a rectifier. They buy from distilleries in Jamaica, Barbados, and Trinidad to make their three-star rum, which is a white rum.
What is that word you just used? They were a rectifier?
Basically, they're like a négociant for like where wine, where they're buying from elsewhere and reproducing it as their own.
Okay.
All right? So this is a Caribbean rum, an island rum.
Mmm, very nice.
Vanilla?
Vanilla.
Yeah, lots of vanilla.
Thank you for putting the word to it.
You're welcome. You. Maybe a little bit of like citrus to it, maybe a touch.
Let me try it on the second taste. Oh, definitely. I'm definitely picking up some citrus now.
Here, I'm gonna taste some with you.
It's very nice. This mention of grass, you mentioned grassy.
Well, waiting.
And I see on the label of plantation.
It does.
There's a mention of grass.
Yeah. Well, what is sugarcane? It's a grass,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And sugar, and they. Some people say that sugarcane comes from the, like the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it didn't really originate until I believe like Columbus and other explorers started discovering that this plant grew well in the islands.
What's your personal feeling about rum?
I like rum a lot. I think rum makes fantastic cocktails. An all-time classic is daiquiri. I mean, a daiquiri is a simple, delicious, sour cocktail. It's rum, it's lime juice, and it's sugar. With the right proportions, it is superbly delicious and refreshing. But with the culture of the way the cocktail has gone, especially in this country, everybody thinks a daiquiri is something that looks like a slushy from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's
and
my picture of
don't
a,
get
of
me
a
wrong,
daiquiri.
Those can be delicious as well.
Yeah.
But
that's not a classic daiquiri?
But that's not a classic daiquiri. Rum, lime, and sugar is the classic daiquiri. It's a sour. So we do like 2 ounces of rum, like an ounce of lime, and 3/4 of simple syrup, and it is absolutely delicious.
Do people order daiquiris?
They do. We do get some
because,
people.
You know, it's, I don't want to say it's an anachronism, but it's a throwback kind of drink, isn't it?
It definitely is. However, I think just like all the other throwback cocktails, the old-fashioned, the Manhattan, people drink them.
I tell you about my brother Joe went crazy on old-fashions. He thinks it's the greatest drink. You and I discussed it.
Yeah.
It's like one of the foundational cocktails.
Absolutely. And I think of the daiquiri is right there with it.
Yeah.
It just, you know, people lean towards whiskey so often these days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think rum is something that will continue to have a lot of growth, especially as whiskey continues to skyrocket in price. You can find really excellent aged rums that are just as enjoyable as sipping on whiskey.
This rum JM.
So.
What about that?
Is
that a pricey rum?
It isn't too pricey. It's going to be a touch pricier than your other island rums like the Bacardi, like Plantation here, mainly because it is coming from sugarcane juice. Most of French Agricole is, I believe it's around 90-95% French Agricole rum uses sugarcane juice. Let's give it a taste.
Okay.
That's what's in there.
This is the JM.
This is the JM.
Ooh, it's a bit earthier. I'm not picking up vanilla in that one.
No, grassy. There's that grassiness.
That's what you mean by that.
Earthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
A little funk on it.
I was going to say this is like a mushroom growing in my mouth.
It says hello and tells you it's there, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's very tasty. I don't want people to think it's not. It's weird, but it's not. It's not what I expected.
I wouldn't be sipping on this. Typically, I would be mixing it into a cocktail.
Yeah.
But you can see in a cocktail, that might give the cocktail way more character than the other one over here. Not that the Plantation is bad at all. The Plantation is fantastic for a white rum. But I think this will add that nice funky flavor to a delicious cocktail.
I must say,
cheers.
To the French, you know, I'm impressed.
So now I'm going to give you a taste of a 5-year-old rum. There's light rum and dark rum. And really, what is the definition of those? There is no real clear definition that says what is light rum, what is dark rum. But what does give some dark rum definition is actually having an age statement on it. So if I
age
were
5 years, the
so
real McCoy.
So if I were to reach down here and pull out Mount Gay,
right?
Mount Gay
from Barbados.
Yeah, but it doesn't have an age statement, right?
Right.
what they're probably doing, they might put it in wood, but they also probably add caramel color, caramel flavor to get that finished color. Mm-hmm. Where this has been aged in wood for 5 years to give it that color.
That's the name, the real McCoy.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm gonna give myself a little pour of this so I can taste it with you.
By the way, I wanted to tell you, I have a bottle at home of, well, it's empty now, but it's, it's a Bacardi from Cuba.
Nice.
That I forget how I got it. I think my brother Joe hung on to it for years and gave it to me.
Cool.
So anyway, let's taste this.
Salute.
Brennan. This is the real McCoy.
And it's our 5 year.
5 year McCoy.
Yep.
That is awesome. Oh, I love that.
So, I mean, think about a lot of whiskeys that people are sipping on these days.
Yeah.
They're sipping on three-year-old whiskeys.
Yeah.
This is a five-year-old rum, and I guarantee you it's costing less than a three-year-old whiskey.
This says it was aged in bourbon barrels.
Yep. So after the whiskey industry in this country is done with aging their whiskey in a new charred American oak barrel, they often sell to rum producers. They sell to tequila producers. They sell to other people that don't mind aging in a barrel that has already had some life.
Well, see, this is an impressive rum. This is not what I expected. This is really good. Eric, you like this one?
That's a good.
The
one.
Real McCoy, isn't that good?
Real McCoy.
I'm calling out to Eric here at the bar.
Yep.
Eric.
My partner in crime. We've been working together over about 13 years or so.
Is Eric the guy who came up with the award-winning drink?
Which one?
Light City?
Yep, that was Eric.
That was Eric. That was an outstanding drink. He had to use
Curacao.
Blue Curacao.
Yep.
And what was that drink? Just remind me. Cause,
what do we call it?
That was outstanding. It was head and shoulders above the rest.
The Blue Hour cocktail.
Yeah.
That was the name
of
it.
What was in that? Blue Curacao.
What else? So essentially it was a gin and tonic with cardamom and grapefruit.
That's it?
Yeah, add some Blue Curacao.
Mm.
It was nice.
It was really good.
And for the festival, if you don't know, this tonic water glows in dark, like black light. So,
it does?
Yeah, so people are walking around with all different lightings.
Oh,
and
I remember that.
Their drinks are glowing.
Right. Hey, this is off topic, but I gotta say what happened on my vacation in August. So I was at my sister's house in New Hampshire, going through her supply of distilled beverages. And there wasn't a whole lot there. I was looking for a gin, and it was a plastic bottle. And I don't want to knock my sister. She's not a gin drinker, so anyway. But there was a decent vodka there. There was an Absolut. And there was Kahlua. So now suddenly it's 1976.
And you're making.
And I'm making a Black Russian.
All right.
And I had a couple of those.
Was it good?
It's damn good.
There it is.
That's
perfect.
A good drink.
All right. I just wanted to know if you liked it.
And then I went over and got some half and half.
I made White Russians.
I made White Russian, and I was the dude. Man.
There you go.
I was the dude.
Dude abides. The dude abides.
The dude abides.
The dude abides. I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that.
I gotta tell you, it's not a bad drink. It's not a bad drink.
So, it isn't.
Yeah.
I've definitely.
Right.
That is one of my wife's favorite movies. I think I've seen that movie.
Big Lebowski.
It is. So
yeah.
I've seen it many a time with a White Russian in hand.
Yeah. Well, it's off topic. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to share my vacation drink. Okay.
All right.
So is this the real McCoy?
That's still the real McCoy.
I'm
you have.
Still drinking it.
You are.
Anything
we
else?
Got one. We got two more actually.
I can do this.
Well, you don't have to drink it all, Dan.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Roughly Speaking podcast coming to you almost live from the B&O American Brasserie Bar on at Charles and Baltimore Street. Brendan Dorr and Eric Foy. The real McCoy is really good.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not. You want me to move on to the next one?
And whenever you're ready, you take your time with that. Or save it and come back to it later.
Can I leave it over here?
Yeah,
because
keep it
I
over
like
there.
To
watch
that.
So we're going to go on now to an aged rum. This is an aged agricole rum.
This is a French JM. Okay.
So
as opposed to the first JM we tasted.
The first was unaged.
Okay.
Let's see.
That's like a earthier cousin to the real McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What do you think?
I like how you put your nose on it and you get that kind of almost teakwood smell.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. That's what I'm.
Yeah.
I'm definitely picking up like a pine, like a dry wood.
Yeah.
Aroma. You know,
that is such an interesting experience with distilled beverages. Picking up the herbals and picking up the woods.
Absolutely.
You know. I guess that's what wine drinkers do too, but this is different.
Definitely, there's definite spice in there.
What would you do with this?
I mean, this you could definitely sip on. Yeah. I would also look at doing something like an old fashioned with it.
Ooh.
Do this with some bitters and a little bit of sugar.
I would say this one and the Real McCoy puts you sort of in the whiskey bracket.
Absolutely.
It? You're on the same shelf anyway, aren't
rum
you?
Rum old fashions are delicious. The old fashioned came from somebody walking up to a bar and saying they would like an old-fashioned or an old-style whiskey cocktail. Or an old-style cocktail. And what was the first written reference to a cocktail? It was around 1806, I think. And it was somebody who had gone to a party that they served cocktails at. And the cocktail recipe was a spirit, a sugar, a bitter, and water. And what does that sound like? Sounds like
That sounds like an old fashioned.
And that sounds like an old fashioned because the water is ice, basically.
Yeah.
Just they in 1806, ice was a high end commodity to have. So not until about 20 years later was ice production a little more of a regular thing. So
to make a classic old fashioned,
spirit, bitters, sugar, stir it. The classic, the clean, the real elegant, just that in a twist of a citrus peel, whether lemon or orange peel. So bringing this back to rum.
The JM rum.
Yeah, so this would be a great substitute in an old fashioned. All right, salut. Last but not least, this is a sipping rum. So this is by Brugal. There are many ones out there. People who really love sipping on aged rum are very familiar with something like Ron Zacapa, their Solera 23-year-old rum. This one's really nice. It's a little less costly than the Zacapa. This is Brugal.
The label is Brugal, B-R-U-G-A-L, 1888.
And Brugal is from Barbados. This rum is, I believe, a 10-year-old. If I'm remembering
the label at the bottom says limited edition.
Yeah.
So and this is on the brown side too.
Yes.
Stronger aroma.
So this is not an agricole rum, but this is probably made from molasses. But you'll see the richness and the depth that this has with that age.
Oh, that's a really interesting flavor, isn't it? Wow. How do we describe that? I can see why this would be a sipping.
I would
rum.
Say like.
I this would be lost in a shame, a waste in anything.
You could still do it in an old fashioned. It would be a rich, decadent old fashioned, but a
limited mixture, right?
Absolutely.
I'm talking about those frothy.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The sugary drinks.
But I would say, obviously, all your baking spices are there. Your toffee, you know, not so much caramel, but more of that richer toffee flavor.
He's very good at describing things, folks. Take his word. Toffee is very, very apropos.
It doesn't taste as sweet as caramel tastes. It tastes a little more, I don't want to say burnt, but just it spent more time cooking.
Yeah. I see Eric just grabbed one of the rums. Eric, what are you making?
The Caribbean
today's
highball.
The Caribbean highball. Today's cocktail special. Yeah. All right. I was going to have one myself, but now that I've sipped so many rums, I'm not sure I should.
And you still got a little more left in your glasses, too. Yeah,
but I am taking the bus home.
There you are.
So
that just gives you a nice little intro of
rum. I do have to walk from the bus stop to
your house.
And I'm really partial to the Real McCoy, and the aged JM rum, R-H-U-M, is pretty damn good too, and that plantation.
Yeah, another like agricole rum that you can find maybe even more readily than rum JM is Barbancourt. Have you ever heard of Barbancourt?
No,
that's also from Martinique. So, two islands that are French islands are Martinique and Guadeloupe, and those islands have this style, the agricole style rum.
You know, in the United States here, we have kind of a whiskey perspective,
yes,
don't we?
Absolutely.
But rum rum must be one of the most popular drinks in the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, something that we haven't even hit on is cachaca. Do you know what cachaca is?
Well, I've heard of it. What
so cachaca is basically Brazilian rum. It's a Brazilian spirit made from cane sugar. Here, hang on one second. We're going to make you taste one more thing. So, the cachaca that we have here is called Novo Fogo.
Novo Fogo.
They're a real, like, all natural. They really like to do things that are pro-environment.
Is this in the rum family?
You could say that it is in the rum family because it is a sugar cane product. It is made from cane sugar.
What an interesting aroma.
But this is what cachaca smells like. It's floral.
Yeah.
It's honeyed. It has this almost sweet, like, honeysuckle note to it.
Yeah.
A little bit of, like, bright citrus, like, real bright, acidic pineapple or lemon in there. What do you taste? And so when you make
what do you do with this?
Oh, I mean, the classic Brazilian cocktail, the caipirinha. Once again, it's a daiquiri. It's rum, it's lime, and it's sugar. However, it's made a little different, where usually you'll take a lime and you'll muddle it into a glass or your cocktail shaker. You'll add sugar. In our case here, we use just a simple syrup, but you can, you know, there they're probably going to use raw sugar. They're going to use like what you would buy as far as sugar goes. And then a couple ounces of this. Give it a little shake, and you dump the whole cocktail in. So you have the pieces of lime in there. So you're getting the pith. You're getting the bitterness. You're getting the essential oils from the lime peel. And then that sweetness from the sugar, as well from the spirit itself.
This is what it says in the back of the Novo Fogo bottle. We handcraft this Brazilian cachaca from organic sugarcane grown in the state of Paraná. We rest it in stainless steel tanks until it's ready to be sipped neat. Mix it in Brazil's national cocktail, the Caipirinha.
Exactly.
Or as the base spirit in a modified Negroni cocktail.
Yeah.
What?
You could change it up. You would just substitute out the gin
for this
cachaca. I think that's what their suggestion is there.
I got to tell you, folks, I've never had this before. This is one of the most interesting drinks I've ever tasted. And smelled. Really interesting.
It's pretty wonderful, too, isn't it?
It is.
I think cachaca is a underrated, underknown spirit.
Find your own Brazilian zen, it says on the bottle. Hey, Brenda, this has been a real education. So
so now you're going to go buy a couple aged rums.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of...
And look for ones that actually have age statements. Don't go for ones that say dark rum. Yeah. Go for ones that actually say an age statement, or if they don't, or you're not sure what you're looking for, find a good spirit shop in town and ask their spirit specialist, you know, what they recommend, and I guarantee you, you're going to get some great value for the money and buy something that probably, if you're really into aged spirits and you think highly of aged spirits, you're going to get a lot of value for your dollar compared to the whiskey industry.
It makes me want to try a rum old fashioned.
Yeah.
It makes me want to try a rum daiquiri.
Yeah, classic daiquiri.
Yeah, before the cold weather gets here.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I thought we. I thought this would be fun. We still got a little bit of heat left in the year.
Right. But,
you know, it's not too late to sit on the porch and drink a cool, real fresh.
Salute, barkeep. Thank you very much.
Salute. Thanks for coming today, Dan. The dude abides.
The dude abides.
The dude abides.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by The Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.